All right, God bless you guys. I'm Apostle Charles Harvest here at HNLC Studios. That's running out of International BTR Station here at Harvest New Life Church. At Harvest New Life Studios, this is a live run on today. I want you guys to kind of call into the studio. We'd love to have you in the studio. Area code 21, let me get that right. The area code 972-477-1191. 972-477-1191. Make sure I get that information to you correctly. We're going to be opening the book of John chapter 5. Most of you probably heard this earlier in our actual Podbean service, dealing with the process of the trouble of the water over there in the book of John chapter 5. And the man that was at the pool of Bethesda, who saw some miraculous things happen with him in his life. And even as we begin to see the things that happen with him in his life, we saw the process where it was available to all those who had an opportunity to step into the water, then they made whole. Maybe made whole from whatever condition they were in. It's amazing to think about the story. It brings a lot of clarity, a lot of revelation to where we are now. That opportunity of Christ's salvation is always open to us. Many types of gates around us, things. And the Holy Spirit is always in the presence to do what He's designed to do, because He said He came that we would have the life, to have a more abundant. Let's get into the Word. That's what the Word of God has to say that's coming from the kingdom. Father God, we thank you, bless you, we honor you for this time, this moment that we're spending with you. According to the kingdom, according to your word, your purpose, your power, your glory. Known to you, Father God, that everything and all things has already been made possible according to the kingdom. Father God, we thank you for looking over us. We thank you for blessing us this word. As we go forth to hear what you have to say in the spirit as we continue to hear what the kingdom of God is telling us concerning this particular message that we have on today. Lord, we thank you, we bless you, we honor you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, Lord. Amen. Let's kind of get into the Word expeditiously and hear what the Word of God is speaking here. Going to be in the book of John, chapter 5. Going to look at some very important just steps and procedures of what's going on in this particular chapter. As we look at the first part of this in the book of John, he said after that was the Feast of the Jews, and went up to Jerusalem. And we look at the Feast of the Feast of the Jews. Probably the Feast of the Jews probably meant the Passover. You know, which John usually referred to, you know, by name over that particular area of chapter 2, that 13 verse, well, that 6 and 4 verse gives a little bit of detail about that. You know, when they've been dealing with that process of the tabernacles, we talk about the process of, you know, certain time of the year, that was a certain feast of the Jews. Also, at this particular time, that was another type of movement of the Holy Spirit going on at the same time. This is what gets me when God was doing something with the Feast of the Jews. You know, talking about the tabernacles. That was also God doing a mighty work, you know, over in the area of this particular pool, this particular area of Bethesda, as we call it, this particular porch that was surrounded by these outer columns. And it had five different porches that was in those columns. It's amazing when we think about how the power of God moves in our life, when it's moving, you know, over here with maybe somewhere in Dallas. He's just still moving in Kansas City. He's steadily moving in Missouri. He's moving not only in those particular states, but within the state. You know, Dallas, Fort Worth, Plano, Texas, Arlington, Texas, Fort Worth, Texas. God is steadily doing work inside the gates of that particular region of where we are. Now, we look at our county here in Denton County area, Collin County area. We got so many different areas that divide the city off, but yet the power of God's at the ability not only to move within the different regions at the same time, but in the power of the individual. The Word of God declared the creed in that particular area of the John chapter 5 in the King James Version. And now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool which was called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. This is amazing when you think about this. We'll begin to look at the process of how the Holy Spirit doesn't move just in one particular place. It's just not going to move over in Oak Cliff. It's not just going to move in Arlington. It's not just going to move in Plano, Allen, different areas around Prosperous. But it's the gathering of the people who come together with the faith and believe, and then they declare that wherever they come together and be as one, the power of God is also there with them to move in whatever demonstration or whatever need they may have in their life or what is going on with their life. You know, it's kind of like the book of Acts when they're up in the upper room. The Bible said there was a flaming fire set up on each one of their heads. And the Bible said there was always a sound before the Holy Spirit moved in. The Bible said they heard a sound of a roaring wind. And then the Holy Spirit set up on each one of them a flame of fire said, well, each one, not collectively, but each one had an individual understanding about what God was doing in their life. In this particular chapter, in this particular second verse, now in Jerusalem, that was the sheep market, pool, which is called Hebrew tongue, the fence, which had five persons, five porches. We're talking about the division. Only the physical walls can't stop the power of God. Am I helping somebody? A physical wall cannot stop the illumination and the power of what the poor God is doing in your life and in my life. Because God says, according to the word of God, and you look at Aaron, Aaron says, how good is a man to dwell together unified. When we unify by the power of God, we'll see the move of God coming together collectively. And we'll see the move of God coming together collectively. We'll see extraordinary events and things that take place that we've never known, heard, or seen before in our life. And this is how the power of God moves in our life, and we continue to trust and believe. I think Mark puts it like this, Mark 9:23, saying, to him that believes, all things are possible. To the believer, if I can just believe in the midst of wherever I may be, God is able to do just what he said he's going to do. You remember he said in Numbers 23:19-21, that he's not a God that he shall lie. And he's not a son of any man that he shall have to repent, to command, to give him the blessing, can and will not revert. That's what the power of God does. And he really known by the work he's doing in terms of the belief of the individual. So we believe, according to our faith, God's willing to work with us and through us, no matter what may be around us, whatever the enemy be trying to put against us, whatever kind of sickness, whatever kind of, you know, whatever it may be. They're coming out of the mouth of an individual. It doesn't matter who it may be. If God is for you, the Bible says he's more than the world against you. So when you put your trust in Christ, believe and declare and decree in the midst of all these things going on, God is yet still moving forth. And it says in this third verse, the Bible says in the midst of all this that's going on, he said, I laid some great multitude of important folk, Now the Bible tells me they were blind, some were lame, there was some slick, and there was afflicted. There was some multitude of important folk, blind, halt, withered, and waiting for the moving of the water. But this is amazing when I think about this. Even the folk that were blind, before we get out here to the area of this particular fifth part of the verse, we see that these men of God made their way to a place even when they couldn't even see. They knew if they got there, their eyes would be open. Ephesians talks about the process of that. Go to the book of Ephesians. You take your Bible, you look over the book of Ephesians. Ephesians makes a very statement about what the glory of God has in store for you in your life once you come to what we call submission. And when you come to understand and realize God's in your life, and beside him there is no other. That means we make our actual request known unto Christ to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the precious power of the Holy Spirit. The word of God declares in that 16th verse, you look at the Ephesians, not getting away from the book of John, but looking at the book of Ephesians, he says, cease not to give thanks to you, mention you in my prayers. And this is Paul's word to the Ephesians, to the people of Ephesus. Thank God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Listen how what the power, when you pray for someone, what the ability God can do for them once you open your ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. He says in the 7th verse, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, look, of glory, this is what he gives you when you open up the prayer. May give you spiritual wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him. Now, when you get these three things, you get first you got to have the Holy Spirit. And then you have the Holy Spirit, that's wisdom. And then you get wisdom, that's revelation. Revelation comes in knowledge. And when all these things begin to work together collectively in you, the Bible says your eyes of understanding will be enlightened, that you may know what is the calling of the riches of the glory and inheritance of the saints. And this is the same thing we see over in the book of John chapter 5. Whether you want to base it there or not, the Holy Spirit is speaking on this. Because this man who came was looking for the very healing in their body, saw it because they heard of it. It was a moving of the water. It was a stirring of the power of God's word in their lives. And when God began to stir, guess what happened in the process of stirring? The Holy Spirit came in and done just what he needed to do. Look at this area over here in the third verse. And these lay a great multitude of important folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for what? The move of the water, the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible declared when they waited, there was an angel that went down at a certain season into the pool. Look what he did. He went into the pool. In the Bible, some parts say he stirred the water, but this will say he troubled the water. And the Bible says, whoever got in first of the troubling of the water. Whoever stepped in first from the troubling was made whole of whatever disease they had. I look at this thing, I had to hesitate on it because the Holy Spirit kind of hit me with something here. He said, for the angel went down at a certain season. Man or woman, God, you don't know what your season is. You know, the Bible says it seems like when you're just going, you know, it seems like nothing moving for you, and it's like the whole world's against you. You see everybody sitting up there moving ahead, and the Word of God telling you, concentrate on your race. Concentrate on your work. Don't be so eager to get to where they are, because where they're going may not be where I want you to go. And if you go that way, what's good for them may not be good for you. Because God got another way you need to go. And he's taking you through a different path. So don't get weary. Don't be discouraged. We see other people got seems like it seems like they're making it. It seems like they're going ahead. It's got to look as though they got to make it. Now, I'm not saying God's not bringing them to what it needs to be, but they got to look to make it seem like they got going on what you want. But God said, that ain't what I gave you. I gave you a totally, totally different vision to where I want you to go. And it's not outside the body of Christ. It's in the body of Christ. The Bible said the angel went down at a certain season. You don't know when your season is, and God gave it trouble, your waters. That when your season comes, whatever vision God has given you, your prayer, to your fasting, to your believing, to your trusting, God's about to stir this thing on you. And then even when it seems like nobody's around to help you, God is always with you. What it says in Psalm 46, I'm a very present help and a very present time of need. God will do things in your life that you couldn't imagine or even think of. The Bible says when the trouble of the water was going, the Bible said whoever stepped in was made whole of whatever disease they had. When you step into the power of God, when you step into the revelation of God, I mean wholeheartedly, put both feet in. Don't have one hanging out and another one in. Put both feet in and believe when you dive in that God is going to do just what he says he's going to do. Hold on, somebody. Am I of God, Numbers 23:19-21, am I of God that I should lie? Or am I a son of any man that I should have to repent? I've been given a commandment to bless. I can and will not revert it. You can't beat God in giving. You can't beat God in healing. You can't beat God in giving you vision. You can't beat God in giving you future, Mr. Thing for your life. You just can't beat God doing anything. No matter how hard you try, it's never going to work out. Because the Word of God tells us, once again, back in the book of Proverbs, you ought to lean not to your own understanding, but you ought to acknowledge God in all his way, and then he will give you direction. Once God gives you direction, it comes rumination. Rumination gives you the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding to know through him that everything and all things are possible. The Bible says your eyes of understanding will be enlightened. They'll be enlightened to whatever maybe is going on around you in your life. Our Apostle Charles Ellis here at HNOC Studios here in the city of Plano, Texas. All the pleasure you guys to join me here on my particular BTR stations on the 15-minute second run. And we thank God for you. Hey, look, God bless you. Get a hold of us. Go to harvestnewlifechurch.com. You see all the information you can see about our ministry and the work we're doing here at HNLC. And it's always a pleasure for you guys to join me here during the course of time and the work we're doing here at HNLC. God bless. Randy Ellis?
All right, God bless you guys. I'm Apostle Charles Douglas here at HNLC Studios. We're here in the city of Plano, Texas. We're going to get started on the actual word that's coming for us here at HNLC. We got a little bit of information we're going to bring to you concerning, you know, this event that took place in the Bible, in the book of God bless you guys. I'm Apostle Charles Jones here at HNLC Studios in Plano, Texas. I'm going to start on what we've been talking about pretty much early part of this morning. Then look the word over in the book of John, chapter 5, and how we looked at the man who was actually pretty much in a critical condition, you know, at this particular state. And he began to call on the Lord. He's a pretty critical. Greetings, guys. I'm Apostle Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Black Church and Harvest New Black Studios here in the city of Plano, Texas. I'm going to bring a word to you that we've been dealing with. Just a short study, maybe 15, 20 minutes, not long. I've been dealing with a word that we've been kind of working with off and on this morning. Kind of got a little revelation of it, a little vision of it, and a dream last night about the a man that was at the pool of Bethesda. You know, some of the things that took place that were surrounded him in the course of time. When the Holy Spirit began to send forth some of his commanding or his angels, they began to stir up the area. And those who were in a position that were unable to physically maneuver, or their mechanics or their motor skills, what have you, was not in a full operation. But I was just the Lord sent out an angel in a certain part of the season. In a certain part of that season, these men that they sent down, these angels they sent out, they troubled the water. And the Bible said, whoever stepped in, you had to step into the water. While the water has been troubled, the kingdom of God, Father, I bless this holy name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen. Father God, bless you guys. I'm Apostle Charles Dunn here at ATLC International here at, here in Plano, Texas. It's called Harvest New Light Church, known as Word World Studios, here in the city of Dallas as well. We have studios. All right, greetings, guys. I'm Apostle Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church and Harvest New Life Studios. You're here in the city of Plano, Texas. Thank you for joining us here in my studio, my private studio, as well as some other studios we have here around the different Metroplex area that we actually work with. And these studios can also be in your home as well. If you just contact us and let us know how can you set up that which you need in your house to continue to spread the gospel or in your private place. It doesn't matter what you want to do. Whether you're on the run, whether you're in a hotel, whether you're in a move. The word of God can still come forth. You've got to be dedicated to do the work that God's called you to do. You know, don't look at anybody else's race, but look at the race that God has given you and know that what He put in your hands is really more than what you can see. We've been dealing over in the book of John, chapter 5. I'm dealing with this man that the pool that says that. The word of God declared there were different departments in that particular area, which is called Bethesda, the sheep gates, had different columns in the gates. They were divided off into different porches. But in this particular area, there was a man who was there with a very critical condition. If you read a whole description, you're going to find out. And most people know that critical position. They believe that God said, whoever calls my name, have the faith to believe and understand that everything and all things are possible. You can be made whole for whatever sickness or disease that may be in your life. It's amazing when I think about this because I just feel the Holy Spirit moving on this already. Because the Word of God said, you got to step into Him. You got to step to Him. You got to confront somebody about something. You're serious about it. You got to confront Him face up. You can't be a lily liver, a coward, a yellow back, behind the back, and talk. You got to come up to the front. And so the Word of God says over in the book of John, chapter 5, it said, this area, chapter 5, Father, let me thank you, bless you for this time, about to spend with you. In your precious and powerful mighty name, we pray, Lord. Amen. The Bible said after the Feast of the Jews in Jerusalem, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. You know, said now there's in Jerusalem by the Shemakah pool, which is called a Hebrew tongue, Bethesda. And the Bible said, indeed, there lay some great multitude of impotent folk, some blind, some halt, with the waving of the moving of the troubling of the water. Which is amazing when you think about it. Some versions say they waited for the stirring of the water. You know, they waited for the angel to come and stir that area. Yeah, when the area has been stirred, it's whatever who believe and trust and come in, they can be made whole. You can't step into something that's moving in faith and then you find yourself not having faith to be able to heal. It's like the woman with the issue of blood and meeting Jesus Christ. It's a connection that we make. It's a plug and a plug socket. You got to make the contact to make the connection, a spiritual connection, to have whatever in your body to be healed because He commanded that He came that you may have life and have them all abundant. He didn't say crippled. He didn't say hurt. He didn't say lame. He didn't say sick. He didn't say disease. He didn't say afflicted. Even the ones reduced in those situations, God is still able to bring them out of their situation through the faith of the Lord.
Please call us to confirm this appointment at 214-699-9828. Thank you. appointment for Marcella on Wednesday, March 13th at 11:30 a.m. Please call us to confirm this appointment at 214-699-9828. Thank you.
All right, now, Bishop Guys, I'm Apostle Charles Douglas here at Harvest New Life Church and Harvest New Life Studios. You know, here in the city of Plano, Texas, and I'm going to bring you about 15 minutes. I'll tell you about a word that we've been kind of working on earlier today, kind of a revelation that God gave me in the midst of the night as I woke up and began to read it. We've kind of been studying about it, and it makes a whole lot of sense about the work God is doing in our life. As you continue to look at our situation, more or less, we'll look over here in the book of John, chapter 5. About the particular individual who was at the pool of Bethesda. And now he begins to explain the process about Bethesda even before Jesus began to go down to Jerusalem for the very feast. We see that was indications of situations taking place as the Pentecost was taking place. Jesus was still doing things, or the Holy Spirit was still doing things, even on the other side of those particular regions and areas. Probably not too far from when actually the feast of the Jews took place. But in this particular statement, it makes a whole lot of sense about how God really doesn't designate a particular area, or the Holy Spirit doesn't designate a particular area. Now, he's able to move in different regions. You look at the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. You look at the United States. You look at all, just look at the world, period. And you see some of the work that Christ is doing. And when the movement of the Holy Spirit moves, God is doing things simultaneously based on the faith of the individual. It doesn't have to just move when we look at the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. It doesn't have to just move in Fort Worth. It doesn't just have to move in Dallas. It doesn't have to move in just McKinney or any other sectors, Irving and Plano, or right here in Plano. It don't have to, but it all depends on your faith. It's a difference between you just believing and then having the faith and then knowing that what you're believing in has got the ability to come to full fruition according to His Word. Father God, we thank You. We bless You for this time. We're about to spend with You in His Word. Lord, give me illumination, revelation, and understanding through the Scriptures that I may know and understand, not through education, but through the Spirit, that I may gain the knowledge of the wisdom. Well, not just the knowledge of the wisdom, but the Spirit, the wisdom, and then revelation and knowledge, what You have given me on today to bring forth to Your people. Father, we bless this word and call it already done in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I pray, Lord. Amen. We're watching You, and I'm going to come be reading from some scriptures here concerning the word that God has given me to bring up to you this morning. I pray that you guys are going to catch some understanding of this as we continue to move forward and hear what the word of God has to say that's coming from this particular chapter here in John chapter 5. We're going to read out the King James Version. The word of God says in John chapter 5, after reading out the Feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. We'll talk about during the course of time this particular Pentecost that took place, this particular feast that took place at a certain time of the year. You know, it's kind of a holy gathering for those who come together. You know, there was a process of things that they believed in according to the Word of God. That God will continue to work in their life according to their faith and believe and give them honor toward these particular feasts that took place. So they honored God in the process of just on a holy day, like we come together on Sunday. We got certain events we do. And we come together like holy convocation, the Church of God in Christ. We got some of the Baptist conventions. We got different things we come together. We believe in no particular area. God's going to move mightily, not only just in demonstration of the revelation of the Holy Spirit, but with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. You know, with the Spirit of God moving, we go to different conferences and learn about the power of the Spirit. For a person just learning the ministry, just coming into ministry, you're going to go to conferences that you're going to learn more about how you're going to proceed to do your job and how the Holy Spirit make more ways for you to be in contact with Him that you may understand what you are doing is pertaining to what you're doing in the kingdom. Process of knowing more about the power of the Spirit. We talk about knowing about the knowledge or the wisdom. We're going to get to the knowledge and then about the wisdom of God. Then we're talking about the revelation of God. So we understand the process when you look at it. You think about the Word of God, you look over in the book of Ephesians, it makes a lot of sense. It pertains really to a lot of what we're reading right here. How God really wants you to know the width and the depth and the power that He has in store for you already according to when you were born. This revelation and information is already been given to you. But in order for you to be able to open up those keys in your life, you got to find man and woman of God through the Spirit that God's going to lead you to get what you need to go forth. Now, is the trail going to be smooth? No. Trails are sometimes up and down and back and forth. You know, like the person who pans for gold sometimes just come up with rocks. Sometimes it runs into a lot of rocks out there. In the process of running into rocks, you get hurt. You get turned. You get bombarded. But, man, it's a part of anything. You know, you just got to, you know, no way to harm your sleep. Just learn how to move forward. And don't give up on God, but learn how to separate those who say they call of Christ in your life and make sure you put the right people around you, not controlling. And not somebody's going to actually hammer you in such a way to make you feel bad about what you're doing. But, you know, you got to be honest and realize that God's called you to do work, then He's going to put the right people around you. Sometimes you run into phantoms. You know, I'll call them phantoms. Sometimes you run into goats. That's just the way it is. Sometimes you got to run into people who just don't simply want to see you move forward. And that's just the way things are. But you got to know how to stay in your lane. If you got to do your race, you got to do what God's called you to do. And hopefully God put information. Not hopefully, He's going to put good information around you, the people around you, to help that vision He gave you to move forward. You know, so God's word's not going void. We say that in Numbers 23:19-21, God's not a God that is still alive. And He's not a son of any man that He should have to repent. Command been given, the blessed He can and will not reverse. Amen. Let's go here once again, over here in the book of John, chapter 5. The book of John, chapter 5, if you think about this, He says after the feast, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and it said Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. That was in Jerusalem, a sheep market, a pool which was called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. And I said, having five porches. Now, illustration, we read the process of these five porches, because there was columns, and there's some different breakdown for this particular study. And everyone's not going to be the same.
their different demonstrations of how these particular sheep gate were made and designed in those particular days. They said it was columns, which is walls. It was separating different departments inside that area of that particular gate. And it had different porches in there. And whatever was going on, those particular porches, some people said, well, this going on. Some people said that was going on. But my point is this. Whatever was going on inside those gates and those particular columns that separated, God called for you not to be separated by any wall. And when you look at people, you categorize them. You got the Baptist over here. You got the Pentecost over here. You got whatever over here, the Lutherans. You got the Catholics over here. And God never called for anybody. When you look at the revelation of Scripture, for anybody to be separated. But through the denominations, the man-made religion, the founders have been pulled apart. And for understanding what the true power of the Holy Spirit is in our life. He says over in the book of John chapter 5, in this particular second verse, he said there was in Jerusalem a sheep gate, which is the market pool, which is in Hebrew called Bethesda, or what Hebrew tongue called Bethesda. And he said these were a great multitude. Notice what he says right here. This is a great multitude of important folk. These people who lay there were blind, halt, withered, waiting for the move of the Holy Spirit. Now, the word of God said it was some, in one verse, said some were blind, lame, some were sick, and some were afflicted. And all these men and women of God had the hope and expectation to believe and declare, according to Mark 9 23, that everything, according to what they heard about the historical move of God, was going to happen with them. Only if they got in the presence of God. The same thing, we look at the woman with the issue of blood, her going through the process of all her doctors and all her different physicians, having found nobody succeed her in terms of what she was going through, in terms of her actually the bleeding that she was going through. And it was really a shame for her to be in public because she could have been to the point of put to death because she was unclean in the public's eye. But she took a chance. And she took a chance. She went out into a public place because she heard a word of a rumor that it was a man in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that can heal men and women of God who have had sickness and disease in their body. In this particular case, the angel. God was sending an angel in the midst of you, going through trials, going through tribulations, circumstances, you're praying, you're asking God. The Bible says there's a certain part of the season while you're going through those trials, God is setting you up to send an angel your way. I heard T.D. Jakes say that day. Through your prayers, through your ups, through your downs, through your problems, through your shortcomings. Now God has seen your prayers. He has heard your prayers. And now God is about to send an angel your way in the season to give you back whatever during the course of time you was going through these changes, what we call the kinker worm and the locust and stolen from you. God is sending what you call a repossession angel. And that angel begin to get back those very things you've been praying for and give you more. You know, when we talk about the process of David, the process of he went to Rob Ziglag and they burned the cities and David began to go back and the man was so faint to the point they couldn't raise up his voice and cry. David got the ephod. He went to pray before God and he said, shall I pursue? God told him to pursue and take back all. From the process, you know, and part of that tribe that came and actually burned Ziglag, there was a young man who was left on his own. And this is just a revelation to the story, how God will send somebody in your life to help you to move forward to where we are. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how glim or gleam your situation may be. God's always got a plan for you, and it's really more than what you can see. We see over here in the book, these men were at the pool of Bethesda, a Hebrew tongue porch that was divided in columns. But in the midst of those columns, it's almost like Jericho walls. That God said, I'm a God that I'm not stopped by walls. I'm an impenetrable God. And when we see this position, when these men were waiting for this angel to come down over here in the fourth verse, it says in the fourth verse, for an angel went down at a certain season. Notice you don't know when your season is. You don't know when your season is going to come. They said the angel went down at a certain season, and in the pool that was troubled with the water, whoever first stepped in. Look here. Look at this fifth verse. Don't look at this fourth verse again. The Bible said, and the angel went down at a certain season into the pool. The angel went into the pool. That means the angel went in, and whatever was on the angel that God sent forth for these people that God sent forth in the midst of the angel to be able to get in that pool and stir that pool. In other words, it's like a person taking a clear glass of water, and you know, you take and you put a mix in there. If you can't, it won't mix until you stir it. So the angel went down and put himself in it as the mix to heal people for whatever disease they had, sickness they may have in their body. Listen to me, man, woman, God. When God's in a mixture of something in your life to heal you,
It's always going to be more than what you can see. Am I talking to somebody? I'm trying to get you to see how God does things in your life and how the power of God moves your life in such a way that it's always going to be more than what you can see. Listen to me. The Bible says, for an angel went down at a certain season, and the pool was troubled. And the water, whoever stepped in first of the troubling of the water. One scripture says, from the, from the stirring of the water. From the stirring of the water. This was the troubling of the water. From the troubling of the water, whoever stepped in first was made whole. Listen to me. Or whatever. It didn't matter. The Bible says all things are possible to the believer. Whatever sickness and disease, they just got to do with a health situation. It ain't got to do with just finances. It don't have to just do with, you know, you're going through a marriage change. You're going through, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whatever. When the word of God uses the word, whatever, it means anything goes. That's opposite of what God declared you to be. It's got to come up off you. I mean, God said the angel went in at a certain time of that season. After you prayed and labored in the word of God, begin to believe and trust in God, and know in the midst of all that you are dealing with, God is going to bring you through whatever it may be that's going on in your life. You got to believe and trust in the midst of whatever it is that's going on. God is more able to deliver you from all the causes that the enemy may try to come against you, bombard you, make you feel opposite. God is a redeeming God. Does not give you back that what the enemy has stole from you, mentally, physically, financially, whatever. God will restore, and then he'll give you more. So when these people stepped into the water, or the troubling of the water, the Bible said whatever sickness they had in their body was completely delivered. But the word of God goes on and says that in the midst of this particular story, in the fifth verse, he said, but there was a certain man there which had infirmity. The Bible said for three and eight years. And the Bible said that even when he saw the man of God who was blind, lame, sick, and afflicted, moving past him, get a revelation of this. Understand what he's saying. There are some people that's going to be in your life. In the process of being in your life, you're going to see some things that's going to pass them over. But when you see those who have it a little bit better than you are, let me just put it like that. They have a little bit of this all going on. They got a little bit. You know, things are going better for me than like a dog. You seem like, well, why am I not getting there? What is in your season yet? It's not that God doesn't want to do it for you. It's a certain time. But if you go before you, then everything become tragic. Because there's a certain time God wants you to move. So what are you saying here, Apostle? Whenever you see people moving and they look like they're moving ahead of you, don't believe that. Don't believe that what God is doing for them, he won't do for you. It's got to take some time, so when you get to where God's going to take you, he got to clean some stuff up off you. Sometimes he got to wipe some attitude off you. Sometimes he got to wipe some madness off you. He got to wipe some sexual immorality off you. Sometimes he got to wipe some lust off you. He got to wipe some stuff off of your body. So when you come into presence of him, that when he bless you, you can receive whatever it is that you need in your life to help you to go forward. Now, this man that was laying there, no doubt in my mind, I'm not saying he had any kind of situations going on, but I don't know that. But the Bible said for 3 and 8 years he laid there, and every time the season came, when this angel came to trouble the Lord, he never moved. He saw the people moving past him. He saw the people probably getting blessed. He saw the people probably getting delivered. He saw a lot of things going on in their life. But yet he stood there, or he sat there in the midst, and he complained about his dilemma. The reason he was lame had to be because he was crippled. Well, the word of God said anybody can be crippled. He has a physical condition. You can be crippled in your mind of understanding, crippled in your spirit, not to be able to move forth in something that God has delivered you. You keep on complaining about how it looks, and you don't want to go through the trials, the tribulations, the ups, the downs, all of these different things that make you feel other than what God called you to be. But the Bible says a man can walk by faith and not by sight. And believe in the midst of these things you're going through, God is more able to bring you out of it. The word of God says over here, you know, when Jesus saw him lie, and he knew that he had been there for such a long time. Sometimes you'll see people in conditions for a long time. They never have any idea to get out of the condition. They just want to lay there in it. That's all they know is to lay there in that condition. Why? And just complain. Well, he hadn't done this for me. Well, he hadn't done that for me. Why? God's out. Why say why? If you're dealing with God on the cattle of 1,000 hills, and the God said he knows respect one person, we do for one, he do for another. sometimes people got the sparkle and the glamour. If I can say it like that. Some people got the sparkle and the glamour on it. For me. Some people got the sparkle and the glamour on it. They make them look good. They make them look good. They got a way to make them seem into something that they're really not. They really do. They want to make themselves seem great. They want to see themselves be, you know, just on top. But God said he does foolish things. We look at Saul, man of valor. We look at David. Two different individuals in attitude and ways, even in their work or their upbringing. Two different people. But God saw the humbleness that was in David, and he saw pretty much the arrogance that was in Saul, but he probably knew beforehand that Saul wasn't going to obey his commandment, but he told Samuel, let the people, let them choose Saul, let them give people what they want, because he knew the first command Saul was going to obey, and it was going to be an immediate denouncement in his life, and that's what really happened to Saul. Unlike what happened over here, we believe in the book of John, the Bible said that, let me get my Bible off here. The word of God said the time came, and he sat there, and the Bible said Jesus asked the man a question over here in the sixth verse. Do you want to be made whole? Every day, this radio station comes forth to ask people do they want to be made whole. It's not based on the popularity of the people here. It's not based on the popularity of the ministry, not the popularity of who I am. It's just the words. If you're going to shine the words of who they come from and say true words, then why not believe them? Doesn't matter if they come from me, Couple Dollar, TVJ, Benny Hinn. I mean, whoever you want to look at, Charles Stanley, it doesn't matter. The words are truth. And the way they display might not be a pleasing appealing to your ear, but it's the truth. The word of God declares over here, you look over here, and I want to just kind of flip back here. He said, when Jesus saw him lying, he knew that he had been there for a long time. And the time ceased, and he had asked the man, him, do you want to be made whole? The Bible declares that the man made a immediate excuse in the seventh verse. And then he said, the important man answered, said, sir, I have no man when the water's been troubled to put me into the pool. Now, that sounds like a lame excuse. No excuse why you don't want to come to Christ. The world is offering you everything you want, everything you think you will have. But the Bible tells me, like, what is a man to gain all these things and then lose his soul? It's amazing to me. When I think about it, how men, now there's nothing wrong with having things, but it's a way that you got to have it, and then you got what you got to have. There's a different haves, and there's a different haves. Some people want the haves, but they don't want the have. The have being, I need what I have to have to sustain me, not just to get back to live comfortable, but the haves, they want all that and more. I want to shoot the video about everything I got in my household. I want to shoot the video about how many cars and homes I got. I want to brag about the places I'm in. I want to make it known to everybody I got this, that, and the other. And you bragging on information of things that's not going to be the last. There's nothing wrong with you having them, but you got to understand that when you get them, you got to know who gave them to you. And when you don't understand the one who gave them to you, you want to try to get more. You're not satisfied with what you got. That's when the dilemma and the problem comes. This man of God laid there, and Jesus asked the man of God a question. He said, do you want to be made whole? God is asking you the same question each and every day in your life. When are you going to look at me and understand that I came to give you life and give you more abundantly? That the word of God doesn't pertain to just a thing that a man can obtain. It's the kingdom. All the show, all the fame, all the glory, all the things that make you look like you got it going on. But behind closed doors, you got a rock in your closet. You deal with circumstances in your life. You deal with situations on a private part, and you don't even know which way you're going. You're just following the flow. You're just following the drip, whatever it may be. Wherever you go, you won't go. But see, you got to understand that you got to take your own control. And the control is when you got to control with Christ. And the Bible got to tell you like this. He said, if God be for you, he's more than the world against you. Doesn't matter what kind of proclivity you're dealing with. Don't matter how many stop signs you run into, how many ditches, how many holes you fall into, God is more able to make a way out of no way. When things seem gloom and glory in your life, when you get it, you tend to keep on running against the same thing over and over again. This is a thing we have right now. We want to be one of the most popular. We want to be one of the most worthiness of what the world says. Oh, they got this. Oh, they do this. You hear a lot come out of people's mouth. You hear it all the time. Oh, my friend. Oh, that. Well, what about you? What kind of example are you for the kingdom of God? Is your stuff together? Are you coming out of half cocked in such a way that you want to brag about what they got, you don't want to brag about what you got? Sometimes people can throw a smoke screen at you. Listen to me, man, woman, God. Sometimes things can be so appealing, look so good in a still setting. Like you see these camera shots, people look so glamorous, they parlay and they looking all good. But behind closed doors, there's God to be able to see their mind thought, the things they deal with on a daily basis, they have not completely been delivered. Sometimes people go to church every day, day in and day out, 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 read the word, day in and day out, day in and day out, but they haven't still come to a revelation of understanding. This man sat in his position for 3 and 8 years. There are some people still sitting for 3 and 8 years in their life. They're still dealing with the gates in their life. They haven't been able to penetrate the wall. Like it talks about, we deal over the book of Jericho, how Jesus, how not Jesus, but how Joshua came over to out of Shechem. When he came out of Shechem, and he sent those spies or the spies of the man, and he ran against a woman who was unworthy to be able to give him information about anything because of our lifestyle. But how many people know God used the foolish things to confound the wise? It doesn't based on popularity, how many people you have, how much stuff around you. It's based on your belief. The Bible says, I can just believe all things are possible. We talk about that same scripture with Mark 9:23, when the man had the son that was demonically possessed. Him being demonically possessed, and the disciples speaking and talking with the Pharisees when Jesus on the Mount Transfiguration. Peter up there running his mouth about stuff that he don't know what he's talking about. Jesus comes off the Mount Transfiguration, see the disciples talk with these Pharisees, and they actually condemning God's followers. And listen to me, man and woman, God. Sometimes people follow God all their life, but they're still lost. They have no idea where they're going. They think about clubs, they think about cliques, they think about titles, they think about roles, rings, philanthropies. They got all these things in mind. But I tell you what it says once again. What is a man, the other woman, to gain all his physical possessions and then lose his soul? Meaning you have a form of godliness, but you do not have a power thereof. Sometimes, man and woman, God, you can have a prophet right before your face. It's amazing when you think about this. I have came across friends, family members, not a lot of them, and they see the prophet right in their household. They dwell among a powerful minister, a powerful man of God, but yet they deny the power and denounce the fact that what it is and who he is, but they're still doing things behind closed doors. It's almost like Jesus said like this. He said, a prophet is never going to be honored in his own country nor his own time. The Bible said when he came to his own time, they denied him. But when he denied him, he went right over to the other side and he healed up the whole half of the town. And they got delivered. It's a difference between people who look at you and people who honor you. Never go where you're not celebrated. Never go where you're just tolerated. Go where people are going to lift you up and honor you for what you do. And I'm telling you, man and woman, God, you might as well hear it like a person. Sometimes the family, don't get me wrong, not everybody, sometimes the family can be the worstest thing in your life. It can be the worstest people around you, relatives, friends, whatever, sister-in-law, brother-in-law. It can be some of the worstest people in your life that will pull your understanding about the word of God. It seems like they're supposed to be with you, but they will condemn you, and they will, I'm telling you, they will tell you things, and then what they do, they'll go and they'll get a word from another one. They'll go where it seems to be more popular, more things that sound good to their ears, the tingling, you know, because you know him for years, well, that's just my brother, or that's just my sister, or that's just my mother's cousin, or this, that, and the other. They'll never receive what they really need because they denied the prophet that was before them. So what it is, they get a form of godliness. They have a form of godliness. I heard so many men of God speak on this thing. The biggest things in our lives is in our lives that hinder us from doing the word of God is family. Jesus proves that in the scriptures. A man is not worthy. A man is not worthy in from his own hometown. Well, maybe how does that relate to the very scripture about the man Ephesus? Separately. It simply does. Sometimes when you got the presence and the power of God in your life and on your life, and everything that people out there in society around your family members may need is right there in front of them. But they fear not to come to you because of what the soothsayers say, what the family say about you. So they look at their word versus your own word. Sometimes, man, you got to want to disconnect. By disconnecting, you got to still love them, but you got to watch something. It's bad when you watch family members and people go down to in a place that they never knew they should be because they denied the fact that the one God put right before them. James never believed his brother. Jesus was the Messiah. James never believed him. This man in Bethesda is no doubt in my mind that during the course of the time this anger came out of trouble, this water, that these people knew that if they had something going wrong with them, and some of them probably were second-time runners. Probably some of them got healed and got back and done something else, and then they came back and they healed again. But he just sat there and complained about the situation in his life. Don't sit there and complain about the situation in life. Don't let people look at you as if you're inadequate. Don't let people look upon you as if you ain't got what it takes to get an overflow from the kingdom of God. Look, move yourself away from wrong with people and go where people will celebrate you. Just because you got a name, just because you got a building, just because you got a title, it doesn't matter. If their relationship ain't right with Christ and they don't look at you the same way, as they say in the book of Galatians, you got to be able to love your brother and sister. Give me just a second here. You got to be able to love your brother and sister. As you love your brother and sister, guess what you got to do? You got to show them that you got to show them a course of what love is supposed to be. The Word of God says in the book of Galatians, now, if it serves me right, I want to make sure I get this in position here. This is going to be actually turned right. I want to make sure I have this right here. In the book of Galatians, the Word of God declares in the book of Galatians 5:6. He says in the book of Galatians, in chapter 5, in that particular fifth verse, in that 14th verse, he said, all the laws of the kingdom are fulfilled in one word. That's love. If you don't have love in your heart, you can probably find yourself like this man at Bethesda. Waiting, complaining, worrying, not knowing that whatever you need is right in front of you. The Bible said the angel came down in a certain season. Sometimes God needs a prophet in your life, but maybe not to show you which way you need to go. But if you deny the very course based on what you think about them, that may be very hindrance when you get what you need, your blessing. That means the very thing stopping you from where you're going. Because why? You look at it from a physical standpoint of view. What do I mean by the physical standpoint of view? You look at it from what you thought it should be. It didn't have, it wasn't popular. It wasn't the size of his building. It wasn't the size of the amount of his name. He was just a normal person. He was just a brother-in-law. He was a sister-in-law. He was just somebody in my house. You didn't look at him like that. And some of the very blessings people have that, they look right over their blessings when they got the blessings right there before them. The blessings of the Lord make it rich. And they add no toil. You got to believe, man and woman, God, to the point that God put things in your life that are so foolish to you that you don't even understand. I will believe, and I know this to be true. I believe that there's a lot of people who have missed out on what God had for them. But because they hadn't looked to the person in front of them asking for guidance, they're suffering and suffering for less. Don't jump to the point of suffering for less because that's all you think you can get. If your mindset is less, that's what you're going to receive less. And I'm going to give an illustration there. Sometimes, or most of the times, when God's got a higher standard blessing for you, because of who God has in your life to help you get to that level, you denounce it, and you drop down to a lower level, and you'll receive that before you receive the greater. The Word of God says like this, is there anything too hard for me to do? Listen to me what I'm saying. If a man of God is in your life or in your presence, they got the power to deliver you and heal you from circumstances, situations in your life, and you look at them as if they're not anything, or that's a normal person around you, or they're just normal. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm anything. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody. But what I am saying, if you look at a person in such a way, if they don't have what it takes, and knowing that God has sent you that way, and you choose to go in another direction, you will settle for less. You will get less. And that's anything you do. If you don't keep a high standard about your life and where you're going, you'll always settle for less. And it's not really what you can obtain, whether it be houses, cars, homes, that'll make you better than it. What's in your spirit? What kind of spirit are you receiving? What kind of information are you receiving going into you that will help you move forward in what you're doing? And this is what a lot of us move to that. Because we keep looking at the things in our life, the people around us, if they're just a common thing. They don't even give it any respect. They don't really know how and what's going on with it. They never ask their questions. And the bad thing about it, they'll teach their children the same way. They'll teach their children to go against the prophet as well. Listen to me. Generational curse will come from the head who started the curse. And God will deal with those people in that area. Once you bombard a person's mind, then go against them, see, the Pharisees had a whole idea. See, the head council of the Sanhedrin, all these little groups and parties, they convinced them to go against Christ. But that was their demise. That was going to be their fall of what God had in store for them. But this is the main thing about it. Christ never disliked them. He just knew they was ignorant and they understand. Sometimes they don't got, you don't want to say the word, but you run across those type of people who look at you as if you ain't got what it takes. They just go ahead and brush you over. They throw your name out and all kinds of conversations, not knowing the very things they said about that priest, that prophet, that man of God will cause the demise of where you're going. Sometimes you'll start off high. And what you'll do, you'll drop the bottom off of God. And you think, well, it looked like it wasn't him in the first place. God bless me. No. It's a cliff coming up. It's a cliff coming up, and it's got a straight drop. Don't get fooled. But when you think you got over on something, and you think you got past it, and you don't want to keep that perspective in place or keep that landing that you're walking on smooth, you'll find yourself getting to the end of that, and it'll drop off. Sometimes a lot of things start real good in people's lives. You know what I'm saying? You got new cars, new homes, new houses, new businesses, new jobs, new everything. And now you feel like you've got the success. You want to give God just a little bit of information or a little bit of praise or the man of God who prayed for you or the man of God who can continue to stretch you out where you're going. Faith coming by here and here come out with God. You will drop them off and you begin to come to conform of what the world can do for you. I got money coming. I got my house. I got my